Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. We are going to run a race. And we're going to run with Jesus from start to finish. So I hope you're ready. Are you ready? The Olympics start in just a few months, so this is good preparation for the Olympics. We are going to start a series through the Gospel of Mark. And I'm calling this series On Your Mark. See what I did there? On Your Mark, through the Gospel of Mark. Usually when you start a series, you begin at the very beginning, right? You would think, we're going to start in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start in Mark chapter 1. No, not today. You ever read a book and you just want to jump to the end of the book and see what the conclusion is? Or the same with a movie. You start a movie and you go, I want to see how the movie ends. Or like when football season is happening, when I'm in church, so I don't get to see all the games. So after church, Sunday evening, I plop down in front of the TV and I watch SportsCenter, and they give me all the highlights of how the games end, right? Now, that's not to say that what's happened in the rest of the book or the rest of the movie or the whole of the game isn't important. But sometimes we want to get to the end. And so today, we're going to start at the end, Mark chapter 16. So spoiler alert, you're going to find out how it ends. I know you're on the edge of your seats. This is how it ends. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. We're going to begin with the end in mind as we run the race with Jesus. We run with perseverance, and we run with endurance. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Verse 9, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive, that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Now, some of you are runners. I don't know why, but you enjoy running. I know when Renee was in high school, she was a runner, track and field, and she enjoyed it. I have a friend named Beulah. She's probably in her 60s. I just recently found out that later in her life, she discovered running. And she tells me all the time, she actually enjoys running. And she tells me about these races that she runs and these marathons that she runs. And I listen to her and I'm excited for her. But I just want to go eat a pizza, okay? Because I'm not a runner. I've done running in the past and I've never enjoyed it. I don't enjoy it. I'm not a runner. However, this analogy that the scriptures here put before us, that we are to run this race marked out before us with endurance and perseverance, is a biblical analogy to help us keep our eyes on the prize. We are to run this race set before us with perseverance and with determination. And we're to run with the end in mind. And I just read to you the end of the Gospel of Mark. Mark was the first gospel written. I know it's the second book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, but Mark was the first gospel written. And I read to you how the story ends. The story ends in victory over death. The story ends with celebration. The story ends on a high note. Jesus wins. And those who run with Jesus also win. But we've got to be able to recognize, how do we get to the finish line? Because there will be obstacles along the way. And so we have 15 chapters now in Mark that will help guide us and lead us on this journey with Jesus, on this race with Jesus, so that we too can finish well. I picked up this book at the thrift store. It's called The Complete Book of Running. Not that I'm going to pick up running, but I think that there are wonderful analogies between physically running a race and spiritually running the race. It's a pretty comprehensive book, but he says this about finishing the race. He says, finishing a race is equally tricky. You need to know exactly what you're capable of. If you have a weak kick, you'll want to put a lot of distance between yourself and your competition. With a strong one, you can afford to wait until later. Once you begin your kick, however, don't slow it. Often another runner, seeing you begin it, will try to stay with you. If you relax, no matter how slightly, he'll likely beat you. Finally, as you approach the finish line, keep pushing. Resist the supplications of your aching muscles. Run at top speed across the line. More than one race has been lost a foot from the finish line. Well, we want to finish this race with Jesus, and we want to finish it strong and victorious and well. And this passage I read to you gives us some very important highlights about what we can expect as we persevere in this race, as we persevere and we push on with Jesus. If you're tempted to give up or to call it quits or to slow down or to turn back, don't. There's some neat things here that we see in this passage that will encourage us to keep on pressing on. The first thing I see in this passage in Mark 16 that I read to you, as we finish this race with Jesus, as we run well with Jesus, we are given a whole new set of expectations. New expectations. Look at Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. They had old expectations. You don't go to a tomb with spices thinking that the body isn't there. They went expecting to anoint a dead body. Those were their old expectations. And one of the things Jesus does on this incredible journey that we have with him is that he shatters our old expectations. By the way, there are those back then and still even today who say that this story is made up. It's a myth. It's just a nice fairy tale. But I want you to know, if you were to write a credible story in the first century, you would not use women to be your primary announcers of what had just happened. Women had no credibility in the first century. Their testimony would not have been valid even in a court of law. And so if you were going to make up a story, you would not highlight the fact that it was women who had an incredible story to tell. That's not how you write a story in the first century if you wanted to get your point across. And sadly, even today, there are many parts in the world where women will refuse to be believed simply because they are women. This story is incredibly credible because women played a prominent role in the telling of the resurrection of Jesus. But they still had old expectations. They brought spices to the tomb. They were expecting the body of Jesus. And one of the things Jesus does is shatters our expectations and says, "Nope, I've got new expectations for you." As followers of Jesus running this race with him, one of the things that we're going to say often to ourselves and to each other is, "Whoa, I did not see that coming." Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Because Jesus gives us new expectations. I think sometimes in this journey, we're carrying around our spices, whatever that may be, thinking, oh, it's the same old, same old. But as I journey with Jesus, he completely gives us new expectations. So whatever you're holding on to, whatever you're expecting in this race with Jesus, just be ready, because he's all about giving us new expectations. Whoa, I did not see that coming. I think the second thing I see here is that Jesus, in this journey with him, as we grow in our faith, we are given new experiences. Look at Mark 16, verses 5 and 6. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, an angel, sitting there on the right side, and they were alarmed. Talk about a new experience. This experience with an angel who speaks to them and tells them, well, Jesus isn't here. Angels. Prayer. Prayer opens us up to new experiences with God. I love that we sang earlier, Blessed Assurance. Did you catch the part that we sang where it said, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. New experiences with Jesus. The heavens begin to open up. We begin to experience heavenly, divine things that we've never experienced before. You want to hear of an experience with someone in our church that he had an experience with an angel? Talk to my friend Tim. He'll tell you about his experience with an individual who you know for certain was an angel. I've had experiences that I can't explain, both with the angelic and the demonic. But we experience things that we could never experience before until we journey with Jesus. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. New experiences. These women went to the tomb. Jesus shattered their expectations and he gave them this new experience with this angelic being who gave them extraordinary news. The other thing I see here in this passage, on this journey with Jesus as we run the race with Him is that we are given new power. New power. Power that we've never had before. Look at Mark 6, 9. I find it very interesting. We read here, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had driven 7 demons. That's a pretty specific number. 7 demons. I don't know the significance of that number other than to surmise that there were indeed 7 demons that had possessed her. But also the fact that 7 in the Bible is a symbol of completion, of perfection. And it could be Mark's way of saying that Jesus had encountered this woman, driven out the demons that had possessed her, and now she was complete. She was whole. And now she was a follower of His. But I know that as we journey with Jesus, as we run the race with Jesus, we too are given power over the demonic. I see here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, we read that Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to do what? To drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. That's a power we could never have on our own, but that's a power that we receive from Jesus. When you are on this journey with Jesus, even demons tremble. They can't be in your presence. They must flee. And so we're given a new power. Power over the demonic. Power to heal. So we're given new expectations, new experiences, new power. By the way, the disciples were given even additional power in Acts chapter 2 when they were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them in a powerful way and gave them divine power to go out and continue to do what Jesus had commissioned them to do. New power. The other thing I see here is Jesus gives us a new normal. A new normal. Look at Mark 16, 11. When they heard that Jesus was alive, Jesus was alive. He was dead, but now He's alive. That's the new normal. Jesus said it would be so in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live. That's the new normal that God has for us. The old normal is this world that we're living in. It's a world of darkness and despair and pain and betrayal and hurt and suffering and death. And I don't like the old normal. I don't want the old normal. I want the new normal that Jesus offers. I want life and power and resurrection and life everlasting. And I'm holding on to this new normal this week more so than ever, not just because it's Easter Sunday, but because 6 days ago, a friend of mine who was important to me during my teenage years passed away. He was born the same year I was, a little bit older than me. My friend Steve passed away March 26th, 6 days ago. We knew it was coming because as he went on into his adult years, he struggled heavily with alcoholism, and it was hard to see him suffering the way he did. He called me about 2.5 weeks ago, left a voicemail on my phone, and told me he loved me. It's one of those messages I'm going to keep on my phone. 52 years old, he meant a lot to me in my teenage years. What's ironic and sad and interesting at the same time is that another friend of ours from our teenage years, Dave, passed away the exact same day 3 years earlier, March 26, 2001, also from alcoholism and liver failure. It's hard to fathom. I couldn't make Dave's service 3 years ago because his service was the Monday after Easter. Steve's viewing is tomorrow, the Monday after Easter. His service is Thursday, and the family has asked me to come and share some thoughts. These two guys, friends of mine, good guys, meant a lot to me. Dave was the fun friend. We would hang out together and just have so much fun. Steve was the popular friend. Everybody wanted to be his Steve. Drove a fancy sports car, got all the pretty girls. Good guys. Good men. But they got caught up in the old normal. The hook, the addiction of alcoholism, is very real. And they couldn't beat those demons. And I share this with you not because it's a sermon illustration. I share this with you because I know these guys and they would want me to share with anybody that it's so easy to get caught up in the old normal of this life. The darkness, the drug use, the alcoholism, the addiction. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I would have never thought that these two friends of mine would have gotten caught up in the old normal, but they did. And their life ended prematurely. And so I'm holding on today to Jesus' new normal. The new normal that sets us free from the captivity of addiction and sin and darkness and despair. The new normal that Jesus offers that helps us to be fully alive in Him, even as Jesus conquered sin and evil and death. And so as we run this race with Jesus, He gives us the new normal, which is life everlasting. The other thing I see here in this passage is that we're given a new mission, a new trajectory in our lives. Look at Mark 16:15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." In other words, whatever you were doing with your life, whatever compelled you, whatever you were involved with, you now have a new mission, a new direction. When you are so captivated by the resurrection power and reality of Jesus Christ, our lives now have a whole different meaning. And it is to go and preach the good news to all creation. Not necessarily do what I do. I love to preach. God has called me to preach, and God may be calling some of you to preach. But if you're a singer, you now sing about Jesus. If you're an artist, you now use that creativity to the glory of God. You use whatever gifts, however God has designed you and enabled you, you take who you are and who God created you to be, and now you use that to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all creation. Whole new mission. And I would say here that unless we are living this mission, we really haven't grasped the significance of the resurrection. But once we fully understand the power and the significance of the resurrection, our lives take on a whole new mission, a whole new direction. And we are compelled to do whatever we can to share with as many people as we can the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're given a new mission. And finally, look at Mark 16:16. We're given new life. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism, powerful sacrament of the church that indicates our new life in Christ. And this command is so closely tied with the resurrection. We read in Matthew 28, the great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples after the resurrection, immediately following the resurrection. He says to them in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Why this significance of baptism? Because it indicates a new life, the new life that we have found in Christ Jesus. There's a powerful verse I want to read to you as two of our very own will be baptized this morning as an indication of their life in Christ and what Christ has done for them and the new life and the new direction that their lives have taken on. Listen to these powerful words in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "We were therefore buried with him through baptism." So our old life, everything about us that was old, is buried in death with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. New life. New life in Christ. We need to run this race. We need to run with perseverance. We need to run with endurance. And in doing so, we are given new expectations, new experiences, new power. We're given a new normal. We have a new mission that compels us. And we live a new life in Christ. On your mark, get set. Who wants to run this race with Jesus?
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.